Okay, we start one time with homage to Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. And today is February 23rd, 2015, and we are doing a new course in reading Pali. We will be looking at chapter 9. But first, we want to finish or continue with the compounds. Okay, last time we did Kamadariya compounds, right? These are what sometimes are called adjective compounds.
We
did do Dvanda.
Yeah, okay. Not,
I'm just going through all of the ones that we did.
Yeah.
We did Kamadariya, numerical compounds. We did the Tapurisa as number three, and then fourth was the Dvanda compounds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's one thing I want to point out that I found just today. Under Kamadariya compounds, these are translated or explained in English as adjectival compounds. And usually we think of the Kamadariya compound as an adjective plus a noun makes a compound. For example, it would have been so much more convenient if I had that, was able to show it on. Oh! Now, it's a rather time-consuming to type in with the Pali letters. Okay, suppose we have kusala as an adjective, dhamma, plural. So, good qualities. Then we make a compound, kusala dhamma. That's the compound, good qualities. Or suppose we have piya means pleasing, agreeable, and vacha, speech. So we make the compound, then we get piya vacha, agreeable speech. So in these cases, we have clearly an adjective plus a noun makes a compound. This is the main type of Kamadariya compound. This is what we can accurately translate as adjectival compound. But there's another kind of Kamadariya compound where we join two nouns that are referring to the same thing. So, for example, Tejo Dhatu. Let me try it. Tejo, which means fire, plus Dhatu, element. So this is, we translate fire element. Oh! please.
Good to see you too. Sorry, I'm late.
Oh, we're missing Francis? Now that you came in, I just realized Francis. I guess she's not online.
Hi.
Okay, so Tejo Dhatu. So we translate this, the fire element. So Tejo is one noun, Dhatu is one noun. They're joined to form the compound, and it's referring to, you see, both words, fire and element, are referring to the same thing. It's not like Tejo is not an adjective, it's a noun. But to give another example, Okay. Okay, we have panya plus indriya. So these are, panya of course means wisdom, and indriya means faculty. And so we can make a compound, or we come across the compound. Panyindriya, which means the wisdom faculty. Or we could also say the faculty of wisdom. But this is not a tapurisa compound, because both words, panya and indriya, are being used to refer to the same thing. So technically, that we would say that they're both in the same case. So this is the wisdom faculty. And last time, I made actually a mistake. I was asked whether ragagi could be taken as a tapurisa compound, and I said yes, but it isn't. It's a compound of this type. So raga, of course, is lust. Agi is fire. So we translate this as the fire of lust. That's the way it comes out in English, but if it to be more literal, it's the lust fire. So this is different from the tapurisa. Tapurisa, let me give an example of the tapurisa.
Raga is also fire,
Bhante? No. Raga is lust. Agi is fire.
Is it the same fire as Tejo? Or is it in a different context?
No, they're synonymous. Okay. It's just that they're different words. Okay, so, for example, Buddha Dhamma. is, this is a tapurisa. This is a real tapurisa compound. So this is the Dhamma of the Buddha. So when we put these together into a compound, it becomes Buddha Dhamma. So you see here, Buddhasa is a different, properly, it's a different case than Dhamma. So it's the Dhamma of the Buddha. But when we're speaking about Rag Agi, as the fire of lust, really, it means the fire which is lust, or the lust which is like a fire. So these come under the category of Kamadhariya compounds. I hope next week I won't have the class reduced to 3 students.
Or none.
Or none. Okay, this is just clearing up something from the last class. Now, okay, so we did, last time we did the tapurisa compounds, which translated case compounds. We did the dvanda compounds. The dvanda compounds, these are translated as copulative compounds. Did I point out the two kinds of dvanda compounds?
No. I don't think so.
No? Okay, there are two ways of forming a dvanda compound. One, one kind, though there are two or more terms, but they form a singular. So we have Dhamma plus Vinaya. So this is the teaching and the discipline. So when this forms a compound, it comes out Dhamma Vinaya. And if it were to be nominative, singular, it would be Dhamma Vinayo. So what's distinctive, a dvanda compound is a compound where you're taking two terms and joining them as a pair. Maybe in English, we don't really have good examples of dvanda compounds in English, but maybe we use the word name and fame. Strictly, that's not a compound, but the two words function together a bit like a compound. He's after name and fame, or he enjoys wine and women.
Ladita. Ladita? Ladita?
Ladita.
Ladita
is
wild.
That's not even one word.
Ladita.
But it's kind of like,
okay, I don't have good examples of a dvanda in English. Okay, so here you see, though there's two terms, but when they join together, they remain as a singular, Dhamma Vinayo. Another example, Udaya means...
Won't they, could you please share the screen?
Oh, sorry. Somebody, Kim, speak again. I just want to see whether your voice is coming through the speakers. I hear you, but it seems your voice is coming only through the computer. Oh, I think, should there... Okay, speak again.
Hello, hello.
No, I can hear you, but it's only through the computer.
Yeah.
Okay, speak again. Kim?
Can you hear me? Yes.
Again, only through the...
Can you hear me, Bante?
I can hear you, but it's only through the computer. Forget about it. Nobody's going to have to speak very much anyway. Okay, here we have Udaya plus Vaya. Udaya equals rise, and Vaya means vanishing. So when these form a compound... we get Udaya Baya. That's arising and vanishing. And this compound functions as a singular. So if we had an, if it were nominative, it would be Udaya Bayang. Another example, suppose we have even plural, a number of them, Ajja are goats. And Alika are sheep. When we join them, we get Ajja Ajalakam. So we have goats and sheep, but when they're joined, they could form the compound Ajalaka, which it's grammatically it's a singular, but the meaning is goats and sheep. So that's one kind of Dvanta compound where the two terms or even more terms get joined to form a singular. The other kind of Dvanta, the terms that are joined make a plural. So let's take some examples of this. Chandima is moon. Plus it should actually be Chandima. And Surya is sun. So when they form a compound, it comes out it comes out plural, Chandima Surya, the moon and the sun. See, so two items, because there are two, so it becomes plural. Then we have Nara. Means men, males, and Nario means women, females. So when these form a compound, it comes out Nura Nario. So you see, here it's plural, men and women. For simile, we could have Bhikkhu Bhikkhunio. Okay, this could form a compound. So bhikkhu are monks, bhikkhuni are nuns. So bhikkhu bhikkhunio are monks and nuns. And so they're forming a compound, a dvanda compound. And you could see it takes the plural ending. So you could see the difference between the two types of dvanda. Sometimes they take some dvanda compounds take the singular, some take the plural.
Father, when you're speaking in Pali, do you speak, I mean, if you're talking about sun and moon, do you use the compound version, or do you say the sun and the moon, or, I mean, this doesn't seem very conversational.
It's used in conversation, in discourse, yeah. Because if you were going to say the sun and the moon, then you have to put Chandima Cha Suryo Cha. But if you make a compound, Chandima Suryo, or Chandima Surya. And notice that when we join two words to form a compound which has a plural ending, it takes the plural form of the last word in the compound. So here, for example, Nara plus Nario, men and women. So though they're joined together in a compound, but it takes the feminine plural ending. Okay. These are dvanda compounds.
Yeah. There's one here that seems neuter, like Jara Maranam.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that is a compound in which two words are being joined together to form a singular dvanda compound.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Bhante, like his name Sakara Hantu is a compound?
It's a compound.
So Sakara Hantu.
Sagara is ocean.
Ocean.
Kantu is one who is patient.
Okay.
So it could be one who is patient. What seems to be implied is one who is patient like the ocean. Or could have the
Sagarakaso. Would be Sagarakaso?
His name is a compound, of course. Sagarakasa. Akasa is space, Sagara is ocean, space of the ocean.
Space, ocean. Dubanda?
I don't think so. I don't know. It's a rather unusual compound. I think almost all, not all, but most Buddhist names are compounds. Bodhi isn't a compound. I am uncompounded. Okay, Dhammadipa. The island or lamp? Lamp of Dhamma. Let's see, another. Subodha isn't a compound. No, his might be a kind, because it's Su is a prefix. All Chinese names are compounds because they all have two characters. Okay, let's go on. Now we come to... Oh, please. Yeah, I'm trying to see if we could... We're having a problem getting... Maybe you just have to boost the volume. Maybe the volume is just not loud enough. Speak again. Yeah. But say.
Did you say it was Kamadarya?
Yeah.
I thought Kamadarya, the first word, is supposed to be an adjective.
Not necessarily. What I was explaining is that there are two kinds of kamadaryas, at least two kinds. The usual kind, which is the proper adjectival compound. The first word is an adjective, the second word is a noun. But one could also form kamadarya compounds from two nouns when they are both referring to the same thing. Let me see what Perniola's polygrammar says about the Kamadarya. Okay. This is what Perniola, Father Perniola, says. A Kamadarya compound is made up of two members of which the first modifies the second as an adjective or a modifying noun or an adverb. And so the members that make up a Kamadarya compound can be two nouns, an adjective and a noun, an adverb and a noun, an adverb and an adjective, or a noun, an adjective, or an adverb followed by a noun or adjective, the whole compound being used adverbially. I think I'm dropping out of my mind.
English. I'm sorry, can you repeat that? Okay.
It's easier with examples. Okay. So, and I'm only, to simplify, I'm only taking the two main types, not the other types. So the Kamadarya compound made up of an adjective and a noun. Okay, so he gives some examples. Maha Purisa. Okay, Maha is great, Purisa, man, a great man. Sabha Danang, all gifts. Puba Jati. Puba means past, Jati is birth. So a past birth. And then the examples that I use. Okay, I had dukkha vedana, painful feeling. Saita chatta. Saita is white. Chatta means umbrella, a white umbrella. Piya vacha, pleasant speech. So those are all simple adjective plus noun makes compound. Okay, then we have the kamadharya compound made up of two nouns. So this is like my examples, the examples I used. Tejo dhatu, fire element. Pan yindriya, wisdom faculty. So two nouns joined to refer to the same thing. We won't go into the others, otherwise you get crazy.
Okay. The second one is a little confusing, but what is the source and what book to learn a little more? What book is this?
I made suggestion at the end of this, what I'm going to send out.
Oh, okay.
You should all have Duracell's Pali Grammar, which I sent out when we started this course. And you find it anyway on I'll send it again to make
and
sure.
So the second example is in Duracell? The second example of Kamadharya? Is that in Duracell? Because I haven't
Duracell seen has nine
times. No, I mean
yes.
Unfortunately.
I think I might have gotten Tejo Dhatu. I think I might have gotten that from Narada.
Oh.
No, it's not in Narada. Maybe I got it from Perniola.
Yeah. Okay.
Or maybe it just occurred to me. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Perniola has Tejo Dhatu, the heat element. He has Viriyendriya, the faculty of energy.
Oh, that's in Perniola?
This is useful for you to get. It's V. Perniola. Pali Grammar. It's published by the Pali Text Society, but you could get it through the distributor in North America is pariyati.com. But Duracell's Pali Grammar is very good also, and it's free. You all have it. We should have it. Okay, let us go on now to Bahubihi compound. So this is what Narada calls an attributive compound. But these English translations are very... Pali scholars have their own names in English. So it's best just to learn the Pali name, Bahubihi. And Perniola explains simply, he says, a Bahubihi compound is a noun compound turned into an adjective. But I think that's not completely correct, because I think the Bahubihi compound can be a compound which is originally an adjective, but it can function as an independent noun. For example, like people describe somebody with red hair, they say, he's a redhead. or who is Mr. Jones? You see that redhead across the street? Okay, redhead means literally a head that is red, even if it's referring to the hair. But when we speak about a redhead, it's referring to the whole person, not just to his hair. So he's a redhead. A somewhat different take the English word a blackbird. You see, here we have an adjective compound. Black plus bird, and it's referring to the bird itself. But the word redhead isn't just referring to the color of his hair, but it's referring to the whole person. He's a redhead. So the person who has red hair is a redhead. Another example is the word laptop. So originally we have a laptop computer, but one could drop the computer and you say, did you bring your laptop? Of course, even Carolyn, who never owned a computer, has a laptop. But if I say, did you bring your laptop? And she says, yes. Then I say, where is it? She says, here. Then I say, you're not understanding me, because this isn't a laptop. A laptop is this. But a computer that could fit on the lap is a laptop. Or we can make a compound to function as an adjective, a two-car garage. Or maybe let me use a different one. A four-seater. So a car with four seats is a four-seater. So we're describing the car in terms of the number of seats. So it's a four-seater, which means a car that has four seats is a four-seater. Okay, those are English Bahubi compounds. But okay, Bahubihis can be based, I don't want to drive you crazy, but Bahubihis can be based on a Kamadariya compound. Okay, this is what Perniola says. Kamadariya compounds that end in a noun can be turned into adjectives to qualify a noun. Whoever understands that, raise your hand.
Well, is Bahubihi an example of that in itself? Because it's a compound that describes the kind of compound.
Yeah, Bahubihi is actually, it's a compound that describes the Bahubihi compound. But let me give a simple example. Okay, we have the word papa. Papa means evil. Plus icha means desire. So this will give us a compound. Papicha. Which means evil desire. So here we have papa adjective plus noun icha, desire. So here we have adjective compound, papicha, evil desire. If anybody doesn't understand how this is an adjective compound, raise your hand. Whoever understands that this is an adjective compound, raise your hand. How about you guys? Do you understand? You understand? Do you understand?
An adjective compound is an adjective and a noun together.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, again, like the example, blackbird, we take the word black and the word bird, we put them together. Blackbird, it's a bird that's black. So here we have papa, evil, plus icha, desire. Put them together, papicha, evil desire. So this is a noun in itself.
And what is this called in Pali?
This is the kamadariya compound, or the adjective compound. Okay, but now we can take this compound and use it as an adjective to describe a monk. Usually the suttas speak about monks this way. So then, you see, papicha is a feminine noun because the word icha, desire, is feminine. So it has, papicha has the feminine singular ending, papicha. But now this compound is being used as an adjective to describe the monk. So, papicho bhikkhu. So, a monk with evil desires is papicho bhikkhu. And if this is the subject of the sentence, then papicho, well, both bhikkhu and papicho will come in the nominative singular. And so now papicho is being used, you could say, as an adjective to describe the monk. And so it's declined in the same way as the monk. If it was speaking about the dwelling of the bad monk with bad desires, it might come in the genitive case. Oops. Papi chasa bhikkhuno viharo. Okay, the dwelling place of the monk with bad desires. Or if something is done by the bad monk, it would come in the instrumental case. Okay, the deed done by the bad monk. So papi chena bhikkhuna kamman kattam. So the deed done by the bad monk. Okay, another example. This comes in the description of the Lichavi princes in the Mahaparinibbana Sutta. Odata Lankara Kumara. Okay, Odata means white. Alankara means ornament. So if we just have the word Odata Lankara, it means white ornaments. But in this passage, it's being used to describe the Lichavi princes. So we have Odata Lankara Kumara. So these would be the princes who are wearing white ornaments. We could call them white ornament princes.
Lankara is a nominative?
Here it's nominative plural. Let's just see if I could find the actual passage. Okay, here we have, actually here we have some good examples of whole string of Bahubihi compounds. Okay, so Ape Kache Lichavi, so that there were some Lichavis Nila Honti, they were blue, I guess they had a bluish complexion, Nila Vanna, blue-colored. You see, the word color, nila vana would be a blue color, but here it's forming a compound describing the lichavis. So lichavis nila vana, who are blue-colored. Nila vata, vata means clothes. So the these lichavis who have bluish complexion are wearing blue clothes, and nila lankara, and blue ornaments. So you see, all of these are nila vana, nila vata, nila lankara. These are bahubihi compounds describing lichavis. And then some were yellow-colored, wearing yellow clothes with yellow ornaments. Some were red, with wearing red clothes, red ornaments. Some were white complexion, white color, wearing white clothes and white ornaments. You see, so an adjective, a noun, are joined together, and the compound is functioning as an adjective to describe another noun, in this case, lichavi. Let's take another. Do you want some more examples?
Enough.
You get it.
Okay, here's a good one. Okay, diga means what?
Long.
Ayu means what?
Life.
So when we put digayu together, we got a compound. Digayu, which means long life. But from this, we could form a bahubihi compound. We have to put a little termination to make it into a real adjective. Dig ayuka manusa. So here we have people who have long life. So we have here diga long plus ayu, which is a noun. Then we get this little ending on, because diga ayu manusa doesn't sound that natural. So diga ayu ka manusa, people who have long life, long-lived people. Okay, so this is the Bahubihi part one based on the Kamadarya compound. Suki, will you close the door and lock it from the inside? Now we come part two, Bahubihi's part two. This is the Bahubihi based on a Tapuri compound. Let me see if Perniola gives. Okay, he just says a Tapurisa compound is turned into a bahubihi compound in the usual way. Very helpful. But it's not that difficult. Let's take some. You know, I always find grammatical explanations in the abstract very hard to understand till I see the examples. When I see the examples, then I say, oh, it's so simple, so clear. So a bahu bihi based on a tapurisa compound. So in English, this would be like the laptop computer. So the laptop is, in English, tapurisa compound, the top of the lap. And so laptop, originally a noun made up of two component nouns, lap and top, laptop. So laptop itself is a noun, but laptop computer, laptop becomes an adjective describing the computer. Okay, let's take some Pali examples. Let's see if I can guess that. Wait, where are you going?
He's running away.
Oh, I'm going to wait to after this explanation.
You'll miss something very important. I don't want you to have to
be confused.
Further confused.
Buddha Basito Dhamma.
Well, that's from a noun and a past. Yeah, but I want to take a simpler form.
How about like a Bhavava Suvannavanno?
What is that?
Suvannavanno Bhavava. Would you Suvanna edit?
No, that's Suv. Well, actually, gold. Gold colored, that the Blessed One is gold colored.
Bhagava Suvanna Vanno.
Yeah, Suvanna is gold.
Vanno.
Vanno is color. Actually, that's a good example. Okay, so here we have. Okay, Suvanna is gold. Then Vanna, is color or complexion, one of the meanings. And so we could take, we could make a compound suvanavana, which would be the color of gold. So taken by itself, that would be a tapurisa compound, the color of gold. That would be a noun. But now, if we use it to describe the Buddha, Bhagava, then it becomes an adjective, suvana vano bhagava. So the blessed one who is the color of gold. Right?
Yes.
I had the example, one example that comes. Okay, here we have the word alaya, which means, one of the meanings, attachment, plus rama means delight. And so when we make it a compound, then it equals delight in attachment. But we can have the expression, in fact we have suttas where this expression occurs, alaya rama paja. Okay, paja means the people. And it's a feminine singular noun. And so alaya rama then becomes an adjective describing the people, humanity as a whole. So this is this population that delights in attachment. So we have in the scene after the Buddha's enlightenment, okay, this is after the Buddha's enlightenment. He says, alaya rama ko pan ayang paja. So, pana, of course, is just but. Ayang is this population. You know, this creation. Alaya rama delights in attachment. Then it's alaya rata, it's delighted in attachment. Alaya samudita, it's rejoices in attachment. Okay. Okay, so you see how it functions. Here we have alaya plus rama join together to make a compound, and the compound is functioning as an adjective describing paja. Yeah.
Why is that in that second line, Ale Rama Kopanaya Upaja, why are the next two words seems like natives, Ale Rataya?
I'm glad you caught that. You're very sharp. It seems that this is a careless editorial job that was done on this particular passage. It should be Alaya Ramaya. Let me get the parallel to it. It seems like this was sloppy editing or typing. Don't worry, after this you'll get a break. Okay, this has it correctly. Here it's Alaya Ramaya Kopana Pajaya Alaya Rataya Alaya Samuditaya. Okay, I just had one more example, then you get a break. Then I get a break. Okay, marana means death. Plus, dhamma here has a sense of nature of. So we can make a compound, marana dhamma, the nature of death, or the state of being subject to death. Okay, but this compound, okay, so here you see we have two nouns, marana dhamma, the nature of death, the nature of dying. But this compound can be used to describe living beings, satta. So then we get marana dhamma satta. So living beings who have the nature of death. In other words, living beings who are subject to death, who are bound to die. So marana dhamma, originally a noun, becomes an adjective describing beings. Okay, it's 2:25. You see how quickly the time passes when you're really enjoying something. Okay, let's take a 10-minute break. Then we just have one. We won't get to any reading passages. Okay, you take your break. I'll decide whether we'll do some reading or finish up. Maybe we finish the compounds next time.
The bikuni from Korea gave you? Oh, then I know what it is. actually it's an excellent tea, but I have to find out the English name. It's like a, it, was it like a red, kind of red in there?
When I put hot water through it, it turns very dark very quickly.
Oh, but the way just it is, was it like a red color? Like a dark red or something?
I would call it more a dark brown.
Oh, dark brown. I think I know what it is.
And I tried just eating the... It's not like... it doesn't seem like a leaf. It seems more like a bean.
It is...
We don't have to record this.